So good to be in the house of the Lord again tonight.
Amen. We've enjoyed the revival.
Thanks so very much for all of your support during our revival services. And had a great and wonderful time. We're back tonight to look into the Word of God and to get fortified. Amen. To take that which the Lord has given us and use it to be victorious in our walk with God. The Bible talks about those that receive things from the Word of God and it does not profit them. It is just something they add to the repertoire, but there's never anything that comes out of it that is beneficial. And we want that which we receive from God to be able to benefit us in very, very special ways in our life. Oh, let's stand together, open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 26 tonight. We're going to read here from the Word of God and launch from 2 Timothy 2 and 26. I have worked on the idea of this message for quite a while, and tonight I have to give the original inspiration to my good elder, Brother Elder Hurley. And maybe he'll get to listen to this message. He said he wanted to hear me preach it. So who knows? We may preach it again. At least, Brother Hurley, you're getting to hear it on the recording. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's kind of like a good spring rain. It needs to soak in. Let's read it one more time. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We're going to preach tonight on a subject I have entitled, Get the Ring Out of Your Nose. Get the ring out of your nose. Let's join together in prayer. Ask God to anoint our ears to hear His Word tonight. Dear God, Lord, we know that in the last days there's a famine in the land, not of bread and water, but it's a famine of hearing the Word of God tonight. Anoint each and every one of us, O God, and on our ears, O God, that we might hear the Word of God. Oh God, reach down and touch us, O God. Allow the Word of God to be planted on fertile ground. God, open our minds, open our hearts, and we'd be willing to receive from you tonight the engrafted Word of God. In the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Before you see it, look at your neighbor and tell them, do you got a ring in your nose? Maybe you need to ask them. That'd be more of a question. And you may be seated tonight. Amen. Brother Robert, would you like to help me tonight? I need some help here. I'm a man that is in need of a young, strong... Don't get too excited. I'm not going to try to put this ring in your nose. Even though I could take this ring apart, and if we had a big enough hole, we could put it in somebody's nose. Because you're going to be a bull tonight. Big, bad, ferocious bull. And this is a nose ring for a bull. Comes apart, you got the screws, put a hole in their nose, put the ring in it. So you're just going to hold the ring rather than try to put it in your nose tonight. You see, if you've ever worked with cattle, I heard Brother Carl up here saying, you realize that those mama cows are kind of a bad deal sometimes, and they get real fussy when you wean their babies off. But there is a particular creature out there that gets in that pasture Because of the fact that you need baby calves to come along every once in a while if you're going to stay in business. And that is the bull. Can you paw your feet a little bit? Snort. Maybe we can work on that snort a little bit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Work on the snort a little bit. Think you can work on the snort a little bit for me now? Huh? Amen. You see, you've got that bull out there in the pasture. And he's a big old bovine. He's weighing anywhere from 1 to 2 tons. And it doesn't matter if you had that bull and you took him as a little baby and you bottle fed him. He's still got some of that nature within him that makes him ferocious and mad and upset at particular things. Sister Trish is not advisable to go into the pasture with the bull tonight because she is wearing the wrong color. Don't even look over there. You might take off running. There's just something in your nature that red is the flag that says, it's time to have some fun. There was a good friend of mine that helped us raise cattle. And we had a bull that we called Baby. And it was a wonderful bull. It was black. And as far as a bull went, even it was considered a very tame bull. But do you realize he had raised that bull and fed that bull and took care of that bull, and the day came, the bull broke Tom's back. And it was a miracle from God that healed him, or he would have been crippled and paralyzed the rest of his life. They told him he had, amen, his back, his vertebrae were broken and crushed, because one day that bull decided to turn around and Tom didn't see him turning. And it just hit him, kaboom, and there he went. And there's something about it when you're loading cattle. If that bull decides that he wants to go through that fence right there, you ain't stopping him. That fence ain't stopping him. That barbed wire ain't stopping him. Them poles ain't stopping him. He's going through there if that's where he wants to go. He is a creature that can go where he wants to, and nothing can stop him if his mind is made up. And I want to tell you tonight, if you have a made up mind that you're going to live for God, there is nothing that can stop you from living for God. There is nothing that can get in the way of you having an overcoming life where that you're victorious and regardless of what comes your way. Regardless of what trap that the devil sets for you. A snare is a trap. It's a trap that said, I can remember as a boy, my dad got out that old-timey trap-making apparatus in his mind, and he said, son, there's too many critters down here. We need to trap one. And he got out his tools, and he got out his wood. Hey, man, and we took that wood, and we built that box, and it had that pole in it with that rope over it, and a little wood thing that come down here, and it caught here, and it had the gate here in the slot. And we put some food back there in the back of the trap. Hey, man, we put something to entice the animal. And the next thing we knew, we went off and left it for a day or so, and we come back. And sure enough, we caught us a rabbit in our trap because it was enticed by the food. And it went in and the door shut. And it was now our captive. It couldn't get out. There was nowhere it could go. It was wild. It was free. But something had trapped it. That bull can be so strong. It can be so ferocious. But once that ring is put in the nose of that bull, All the farmer has got to do is to take his bull rope. I'm going to go out, hook it on the ring. Come on, hang on to your ring. You can't let go of your ring. It's in your nose. And that bull, just like a little baby, is taken captive at the farmer's wheel. It don't have a choice anymore where it's going to go. It ain't going to try to snort. It ain't going to try to kick. It ain't going to try to run. This farmer has got the bull ring. And he's got the bull rope on it. And that two-ton bull that can go through walls and that can go anywhere and do anything that it wants to do is at the mercy of the farmer. If the farmer wants to lead it up in the truck and take it down to the slaughterhouse and make hamburger meat out of it, the bull is going to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. Amen. He's not going to gripe. He's not going to rebel. Ain't nothing going to happen except he's just going to follow that farmer because the bull rope is in process. He is in captivity. Whenever the farmer gets done leading him around and he's tired of leading him around, he just takes his bull rope off and backs off and lets the bull go on down the road and puts his rope over, and he knows that whenever I want my bull, all I got to do is get out my bull rope and go get him, and he's going to do what I have to say. I can let him run around. I can let him think he's the king of the pasture. I can let him boss all those mama cows around. He can have his heyday. He can snort and he can paw and he can make all kinds of noise and scare all the kiddies. But when the time comes, all I got to do is get my bull rope and go over there and grab the ring. And I've got him captive again. He's going to go where I want to now. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do. Amen. He wants you to be under his power. Amen. That when it's time to go to church, he goes over and grabs a hold of the bull ring. And amen. What is it? I just don't think I can go to church tonight. Amen. There's something that's come up. There's something that's got in the way. There's something that's more important. Oh, the job is more important than going to church. Oh, the kinfolks are more important than going to church. Oh, my. He's got you captive at his own wheel. Amen. When church is over, he unhooks the bull rope and just let him go. It don't matter anymore. Amen. Because you see, when this thing locks in, the spring comes down, it's hooked, it's not coming loose, it's there, it's solid. The trap is set. As we begin to read in the first part of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. He tells us that, "Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse number 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier." The devil tonight has a plan. Amen. And his plan is to get us entangled with the affairs of this world. The devil wants us to make the gods of this world our gods. The devil wants us to fit in and to blend and to conform to the world that is around us. Hey man, I want to tell you something. In our world today, there is this great and wonderful, this will work, great and wonderful peer pressure to be like everybody else. If tomorrow, if Miley Cyrus would get up and stand on the stage with a banana on her ear, amen, before
the tweets could get from New York to California, the teenage boys and girls would be running down to the supermarket to buy them a banana to put on their ear so they could be like Miley Cyrus. Oh, there's the peer pressure of the world. I've got to be like my God is. I've got to be like the pop culture. I've got to fit in.
Yes, come on.
I want to tell you something. The church is standing strong. The church is standing firm tonight. We don't have to conform to the world. I don't want to be like the world. Amen. Come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. But our world wants us to worship their gods. They want us to be in a place so that any time that the devil wants to, he can go and jerk on the rope and pull us down the road to where he wants us to go.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not going to worship at the idol of pro football. I'm not going to worship at the idol of pro basketball. I'm not going to worship at the idol of NASCAR. These are the gods of the world. They are worshiping the creature rather than the creator. I will not bow down and give glory and honor to the things of this world.
Come on, preach it.
I'm not going to entangle myself in those things that would destroy my relationship and my ability to be a witness, my ability to stand firm and reach out to a lost and dying world. Oh, there's lots of things that are out there, but not everything is profitable for me. I don't want to be one as one that beateth the air. Amen. Reaching out, putting effort into things that has no profit, putting effort into things that are not beneficial to my walk. I don't need the world's fashion statement. Just because they sell it at Walmart don't mean it's godly and modest and I can wear it.
Right. Come on.
Do you hear me tonight?
Yes.
Amen. The Bible talks to us about modesty.
Yes.
And the way that we dress.
Yes.
To be modest.
Yes.
Our world is on a collision course with eternity tonight because of the lust that has entered into our world.
Right.
Amen. Our world is consumed with lust because they have no love.
Yes, yes. Preach it.
Oh, that's all they talk about. Oh, everything's about love. No, they don't even know what the word means. They have perverted love, and it is now open, gushing lust that is flowing down the street.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on.
When God talks about love, He comes forth and tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave.
Yes, yes. Come on.
Our world is full of lust. What can we get?
Yes.
What can I get out of this relationship? And as soon as I can find a different relationship that I can get something more out of, I'm headed to it. Lust everywhere. Our society has learned, amen, that sex appeal sells. And modesty sells. Why in the world are we there? Started a long time ago when the sanctity of marriage was poo-pooed by the world. Amen. And no longer was it valued. No longer was the Word of God taken for what it means. That when we take the marriage vows until death does it part, that means that that is a vow that we took before God and man.
Yes.
Amen. To be faithful unto
yes.
the partner that God had given us.
Yes.
Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Amen, amen, amen.
It's the devil's 1-2-3 punch. Look at 1 John talks about it, the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh. How that mankind will struggle with these things. We must have victory over them. King David said, I will make a covenant, or I have made a covenant, whether with my eyes. Something about it he had within him, within the makeup within him, that he was not going to go down those paths. He realized and he warned us of the strange woman. Traveling down the path of the strange woman, where it leads.
Here we are in our generation that are taken captive at the devil by his will. They have no defense because they've allowed the ring of the world to get put in their nose. They have an appetite for the things of the world. They have an appetite for that which is lewd, that which is perverse, that which is perverted, that which is grotesque. They're saying, shock me, shock me, shock me, amaze me, amaze me, amaze me. And they wonder why they're tormented. They can't have no sleep. They have no peace in their life, and they're constantly living fear and dread of what's going on. It's the diet that you've been putting into your brain. What you've been consuming within you can cause, amen, turmoil. But it is an appetite that is never, ever satisfied. Lust will never, ever be satisfied. True love brings peace, joy, and satisfaction. Amen. To be entangled in the war. It says, if a man strives for mastery, yet he is not crowned except he strives lawfully. He's giving them there another admonition and saying, hey, I'm trying to tell you how to break forth out of the devil's domain. I'm trying to tell you how to break forth out of the control of sin. I'm trying to tell you how to be victorious. He says there's some rules in every engagement. Amen. Whatever you're going to do, there has to be rules. If we were going to trade pocket knives tonight, boy, that's an old one, ain't it? But if we were going to trade pocket knives tonight, there would have to be some rules in pocket knife trading in order for it to work, wouldn't they, Carl? Yes. Amen. If I brought forth a 99-cent Chinese ripoff and Carl had a genuine old-timer made in 1936. And I said, well, we said we're going to trade pocket knives. You got to go through with it. He'd say, no, there's some rules about trading pocket knives. Amen. There's some things that are just understood. Amen. That we got to find a value here that is equivalent. I've got to find something that is as valuable as what I'm given, as what I'm getting. There is the rules that are involved. Amen. And if we're going to be victorious, there's some things that we've got to forsake, and there's some things that we've got to embrace.
Right.
Forsake the world and the things of the world, the fashions of the world, the statements of the world, the dress of the world, the look of the world. Amen. Where in the world would a child of God go to GQ magazine to figure out how a guy should look? I mean, does the world know what it is to be a man? You get messed up sometimes. You go, some of these paintings that are supposed to be of Jesus Christ that were painted by Michelangelo. Michelangelo was a pedophile. He was painting pictures of his boy lovers. Amen. We need to find examples in people that have stood for truth and honor and goodness and say, there is an example of what a man should look like. Amen. I don't want to go out and find some sodomite and say, I'm going to fashion my dress after him. I'm going to fashion my walk after him. I'm going to fashion my actions after him.
Come on.
Hey, man, we need to teach our young boys to have gravel in their voice. We need to teach them to have muscles in their wrist. Hey, man, this is old-time preaching. Some of you may think I fell off the turnip wagon.
Come on.
Hallelujah. But if we are going to be ones that can resist the devil, we're going to have to break the hold that he has upon this world.
Right.
We're going to have to break free from the things that bog us down and destroy us.
Verse number 6, the husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. Amen. It's letting us know, hey, as the pastor of the church, you're the example of the believers. I believe as a minister of the gospel, amen, we have the obligation. Before we ask somebody to do it, we need to have the corn in the crib. Amen. Before I ask you to teach a home Bible study, I better have taught a few home Bible studies.
Right, amen.
Amen. Yeah, I can tell you about teaching the home Bible study with 7 coon dogs in the house. Yeah. Amen. But I want to tell you, it works when you put God to the test.
That's right. Amen.
He will reward your effort. He said, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And why is that my gospel important there? Paul is letting them know, hey, I preached unto you the truth. I taught you the truth. I brought the word of God unto you. Amen. And why are you so soon removed in one place, he says? Why is it you listen to voices that have no anointing, have no biblical basis? Well, they're popular. Everybody is excited to hear them and excited to see them. Tell you what, I'm not going to waste my time to go hear Joel Osteen. I'm not listening to somebody that gets up and proclaims that the Muslims are my brother in Christ. They're not a sheep from another pastor. They're not my brother from another mother. Let me tell you something. They're lost because they believe, amen, in a God that does not exist.
Right.
Allah is not God and Muhammad is not his prophet.
Right.
Amen. They're of the seed of Ishmael and they're cursed tonight until they find Calvary and become grafted in just like the Gentile and paying on Jesus Christ as their Savior and King and Redeemer. Amen. It says, when I suffer trouble as evildoers, even under bonds, but the word of God is not bound. It says, I'm not going to hold back. The word of God is not going to be halted. Amen. There is a pulpit in the Peace Tabernacle that we know has a non-feathered pulpit. Amen. The word of God has free course. When the anointed men of God come and stand behind this pulpit, they're going to preach truth unto us. Because their preaching is not based upon some condition or some friendship. It's based upon we want to hear the anointed word of God. What thus saith the Lord for this hour. Amen. I've got to skip a few verses. We don't have time to all of it. But he told him to study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Verse 17, look at that with me tonight. He said, and their word will eat as doeth a canker. There's things that when it gets into you, it's not very easy to get out of you. When you get a canker worm in your garden, you're in trouble. Amen. There's something about that canker worm. From what I remember, it goes after the tender roots of those plants. It cuts them off at the roots. Oh, those tomatoes can look great and wonderful, all bushy. All out there, those blooms popping out on them. But while they're young and while they're tender, that canker cuts them off at the roots. And the next morning you come out and that plant's all wilted. What happened? But he said, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. I want to tell you tonight there's going to be people that will come and sit out on these pews. And just like the parable of the sower, the Word of God is going to come and the cares of this life is going to choke it out. And they're going to wilt and die and fall away. But Paul says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. The truth is still going to work. The Acts 2:38 message is still going to deliver. Amen. Hungry hearts are still looking for the Holy Ghost. The power of God is still going to deliver man from sin. Oh, the church is still going to be victorious. Amen. We're going to live an overcoming life. We're going to see miracles. We're going to see healings. We're going to see deliverance. We're going to see our families saved. We're going to see the power of God demonstrated. The foundation standeth sure. It doesn't matter what man says or what man does. God is still true.
Yes.
And we got to realize that our faith cannot be built upon numbers or who is here and who has departed. But he says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That kind of blows greasy grace right out of the trough, brother. Amen. We're living in a world today that wants to sell you a license to sin. Only difference between a Christian and a sinner is one's got a license and the other one don't. But he said, if you call on the name of Christ, you got to depart from iniquity.
Right.
Amen.
Preach it.
Amen. It's not just enough to say, I believe in Jesus, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and go right on down the road, the same old man, the same old woman you were, slopping down the same pig trough of sin and iniquity.
Amen.
It don't work. But he says, in a great house, they're not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth.
Yes.
Some of honor and some to dishonor.
Right.
I want to bring honor to the kingdom of God.
Yes. Amen.
I may be a simple vessel, but I'm in a great house tonight.
Amen. That's
right. Amen.
It's not the vessel. It's not the vessel. Nobody's looking at the vessel. What they're all interested in is what's in the vessel.
Right.
It's the God within you that will bring honor to a great house. When you allow the Spirit of God to reach down and touch you, you say, I just can't hold it back. There's something within me. Oh, there's some joy that's springing up within my heart. There's some joy springing up within my soul. I can't go to the house of God and be like I'm not on the dill pickle. I got to go to the house of God. And I've got to let what's been put within this vessel come out. I've got to praise within me. And it's rolling. Oh, I've got some joy within me. I've got some high God. That's just got to go forward. Magnify Him. Amen. I am nothing but a vessel of clay tonight, but the Almighty God wants to shine through me into a world that they might see Jesus. There's something about the process of making glass that is intriguing to me. As I was a boy growing up, there was a glass plant in Ada. And they made glass models. And when I got into computer technology, I had the opportunity to go there to Brockway Glass right before they shut down and do some computer work for them. And I was afforded a tour of the factory and showed some of the process, and I have studied it later. Look at the glass. This is a beautiful glass model. We can see what's in there, can't we? This bottle is cut and shaped in a very, very fancy way to show you how valuable the contents are. This bottle is not beautiful just to be a beautiful bottle. Because without the contents, this bottle doesn't have much value.
But that glass starts out as the sand on the shore. A very fine, white silica sand. And they take it and they begin to heat it up. We start out as dirt. Amen. And God begins a transformation process in our life. After we've been born again, the cares of this life and the trials of living come our way. You ever had a flat tire sitting on the side of the road talking to yourself? Amen. I think sometimes I look back and I was just a sucker for punishment. Amen. I was the piano salesman in the family business, and I would sell those pianos, and I'd have those guys load that truck up, and I was the face that sold them, so I was the guy that went on the delivery run with them. I could drive the stick shift, and a lot of the guys couldn't. So, if there were a reason in the world, I needed to go help deliver the piano, to drive the truck, and be nice to the people. And well, when you're loading the piano in a truck, it's real awkward to do it with the spare tire in the bed of the pickup truck. So they would take the spare tire out of the pickup truck. And thank God we had a Tommy lift on the back of it. Oh, Lord, that was a miracle of miracles, that Tommy lift was. Hallelujah. So you couldn't put the spare tire underneath the truck like it normally was, because all the hydraulics of the Tommy lift was there. Sometimes I think I'd have been better off to chain it to the top of the cab. And if you know anything about my family, they would buy it somewhere else to save 2 cents. So they got a real good deal on tires for this pickup truck. And they would send me out on a delivery. This was before cell phones. I found myself down on the other side of Atoka, Oklahoma one day. I mean, there is people living in teepees down there. And I was going along just singing a beautiful song. I was singing. Oh man, And poof! Right front tire blew out, and I went to the side of the road. I looked over at Sean, and I said, "Would y'all load the spare?" He said, "Don't look at me. I didn't know where the spare was." I said, "Well, after we get done walking, next time you may ask them where it's at." So after we walked 3 or 4 miles, fortunately, God put a convenience store 3 or 4 miles away. That store probably ain't there anymore. It's probably just an Angel Transport. Amen. How in the world is there a convenience store south of Atoka? I don't know. Went there and called them, you know. You sit there for an hour or two while they line up a spare and bring it to you. Happened to me 4 times. All 4 tires blew out on that truck. Fortunately, 3 times. By the time 3 of them blew out, they did not drive that truck up in front of the shop without a spare in it. And if they did, they were going back after it. Amen. It took me 3 times to learn, but I finally learned. Amen. So, we'll have the trials that'll come our way. Things of life that happen. We're living in a world that's decaying. That heat is put on that sand of that glass. And then when that glass is turned into this molten liquid-like lava-type apparatus and all of that heat
You look in there and you see all of that bubbling yellow red stuff in there and say, I might make good cheese dip, but how in the world am I going to put it in a window and look through it? They'll take all of that hot molten stuff and they've got a steel table. And that steel table is kind of cool. It's really cold compared to that hot pot. And they'll pour all that liquid glass, all that melted sand out on that table. Just pour it out. And then they'll take a big steel roller and begin to roll out that molten liquid flat. You ever felt like you got run over by a steamroller? Yeah. God's trying to prepare you so you can't be taken captive at the devil's will. Amen. You got some corn in the crib. You got some experiences back there. You can look back there and say, hey, yeah, my baby got sick. Amen. But you know what? We had her anointed with oil. We got down and prayed for her. And God healed her. Right. Amen. Amen. I know that God is a healer. Amen. I know that God's miracle power is there. I know that God can make a way. Amen. I've been there. Hallelujah. Steamroller comes down and it rolls that glass out flat. But you know what? At that point, you can't see nothing hardly through that glass. It's got air pockets and bubbles in it, and it's got scratches in it, and it's useless as a window glass. And then suddenly they get out the big sanders and buffers, and they begin to take the top layer off. Amen. Sometimes I say, God, why in the world are you taking that away? Because it hides my glory.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes. It hides my glory.
Yes.
Amen. When some woman comes prancing out of a car looking like a Jezebel, how in the world can anybody see Jesus? All they're seeing is the Jezebel.
Right. Come on.
All they're seeing is the Playboy model coming forth.
Yes.
All they're seeing are the dingly and the danglies and the flashing and the blinglies of the world. They're not seeing someone that they say, this is a godly lady. This is somebody that prays. This is somebody that's happy. This is somebody that's faithful to her husband. No, they're saying, here's somebody that's an easy get. Here's somebody I can hook up with that has no virtue. Here's somebody I can hook up with a one-night stand. Here's somebody I can flirt with. They got those layers of the world on them. They haven't allowed God to come and begin to take the things of the world and polish it away so that Jesus can shine through.
Yes, yes. Come on.
And after it's done and after it's polished, it has to be placed somewhere that it can be used. Amen. As long as that glass is sitting in the warehouse, nobody's seeing nothing. It's lies he had. Verse 22, he says, flee also youthful lust. Well, there's a lot of things that God tells us to attack and to charge and to fight. Fight the good fight of faith. But he tells us to flee from lust. Amen. Yeah. If there's a woman of ill repute working in the convenience store, don't go there no more. Go somewhere else. Amen. If there's somebody on the job that's got loose morals, don't make friends with them in that kind of way. Amen. You know, God's not going to give you a strip club ministry, guys.
Amen.
He says, flee the useful lust.
Yes.
Don't put yourself in a position where that your reputation can be besmirched, or where that your power of the Holy Ghost could be laid down and you could fail. Don't set yourself up for failure.
Amen.
Amen. Why in the world does a young boy and a young girl want to go somewhere and park in a dark alley.
That's right. Come on.
They're setting themselves up to succumb to the lust of the flesh.
Right.
They're setting themselves up to fail. It says, flee useful lust. That means run, get out of there. Amen. They had a nice little music show there in Branson, Missouri, and had some guys from Argentina, amen, playing some music and stuff. And they had a volunteer to come up there and help them with the music show. The guy was demonstrating his bullwhip ability, and this guy was going to hold a flyer in his mouth. And one of the people that was helping him coached him that as the guy was introducing him what to say. So he comes up there and the guy says, "Hey, how you doing? We're so glad that you're here at our show." And he says, "What do you do for a living?" And the guy looked at him and grinned. He says, "I work for immigration." I tell you what, those guys drop their instruments. They begin to run off that stage, head towards the door. There's a couple of them cover themselves up with blankets. Hey, man, that stage was clean, brother. And the old boy, hey, man, was running the actor. He says, no, guys, you didn't understand him. No comprende. He didn't say immigration. He says he works for McDonald's. Get back up here. It's all right. Hey, man. Yeah, the code of the street, you know. When somebody knocks on the door and says, "Please open up!" The toilets begin to flush, the windows fly open, amen. It's, "Woo, let's get out of here! We gotta go! The police are here!" If you could develop that attitude about lust and pornography,
that's a
truth. Hey, man, when this stuff comes, it's time to go! Get out of here, man! It's you! Let's go! Then you're going to get rid of the ring in your nose.
Yes.
Hey, man, the devil uses lust to just drag you in the gutter anytime he wants to. Woo, gutter time. I got a ring in their nose. Hey, man, they just eat it up. Woo, let's go.
Yep.
He's got a lot of good stuff in here. He says, follow righteousness and faith and charity. Charity is a very special love, agape love. It's not greasy grace. Charity's not. The world don't even know what the word charity means either. Amen. When you've got real charity and real love in your heart, you care about that which matters most. You have a burden for the lost. You have a burden for those that are going down the wrong path. You're willing to spend some time praying for them. Yeah, this is my time. This is me time. This is personal time. But you know what? I'm going to spend some of it praying for the lost sheep. I'm going to spend some of it inviting somebody to church.
Yes, come on.
There's an old saying that either you're a missionary or you need a missionary.
Yep.
Right.
You're either converting them or they're converting you.
Yep.
You're either influencing them or they're influencing you. He says, out of a pure heart, the heart, the seat of our emotions, it has to be purified. Amen. It has to be cleansed. Amen. But the servant of the Lord must not strive to be gentle. He says, instructing those that oppose themselves. As a preacher of the gospel, it's one of the saddest, hardest jobs that you'll find yourself in sometime. You got people hurting themselves
by their arrogance and their pride and their rebellion against God and the ministry. They're doing everything they can to go to hell. They won't listen to the preacher. They make excuses for what they're doing. They blame their problems on somebody else. They oppose themselves. Because they let the devil put a ring in their nose. Oh, preacher, I can't give that up. Oh, preacher, is that necessary? Oh, preacher, You just let the devil put a ring in your nose. And he comes by and plays with you whenever he's wanting some amusement. No. 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 Tonight, the preaching of the Word of God is here. Because God wants to recover you out of the snare. God wants to break you out of the trap. One of the most destructive forces for landowners in the state of Oklahoma right now are the wild hogs. Destroying beautiful, beautiful pastures. And getting in people's front yards. Very, very destructive and very, very costly. So those wild hogs get through rooting in your pasture. It's almost impossible to brush hog it anymore because the deep ruts will tear up your farm equipment as you try to mow it. And these hogs are very, very tough to catch. Young man who used to come to church here told me how he took a 357, was in 10 feet of one, and shot it with it. And it just kept right on going. Shot it right in the head. The weapons that we have don't seem to stop them. Very easily. There is. Well, you get enough holes in them, they'll finally bleed out, I guess. But they've developed a way that they can catch these hogs with patience. And once they get them all in the pen, then they can definitely put enough holes in them to take care of the problem. They'll go out there and they'll take a bag of corn and just lay it out in the middle of the pasture where they know these hogs are running. Lay out a couple of buckets full of corn on the pasture. Every night for about a week, those hogs will come by and they'll eat that corn. And man, they just think they got some free food. Amen. You know, that old girl will come by and she'll wink at me. Oh man, there's just some free entertainment. There's no strings attached here. An old boy will come by and he'll flex his muscles. Woo, 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 Oh man, I just gotta have some fun. They're just laying the corn out.
It's good.
After about a week, they'll come and they'll put down one big fence panel there and secure it to the ground and put the corn back down. The old hogs come up and say, wonder what that is. Yeah, that's not dangerous. That's just a little fence panel. They may not eat the corn that night, you know. Rather around, look at it. The next day, they'll smell that and they'll be so hungry. I gotta have some. Yeah. Yeah. Take one bite of the apple and didn't flee the lust. I gotta have another bite, yeah. No, you need to get the ring out of your nose. They'll go eat the corn. Week goes by, they'll come up and put up another panel. There'll be an L out there in the pasture. and they'll make a U out of it. And then they'll build a top over the pen. Put a big trap gate there and the trigger at the back. And those pigs, after a month or two of being conditioned that there's free corn there, they'll just come running 15, 20, 30 of them at a time and run into that pasture and run to the back. And by the time that one and the lead gets to the back of the pasture, almost all of them's in that pen when he hits the trigger and the gate's closed. And this ferocious beast that cannot be trapped hardly or killed hardly now has been taken captive by the patience of mankind. Sin is not something that is automatic. First time that old boy, that old girl looks at you and says, "What you doing tonight, honey?" No. You don't lose your morality. You don't lose your virtue. You still come back to church and, "It feels good." Amen. But the devil's laying a trap because he wants to take captive of you at his own will. I want to tell you tonight, you have to purpose in your heart, like Daniel did, "I am not going to defile myself with the things of this world." The scripture plainly tells us, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, unto him it is sin." Can you stand with me tonight? The altars of the church will do you no good until you're willing to come to them and kneel down and ask God to forgive you and to deliver you from this evil present world that we live in. The sacrifices that have been made here, the Spirit of God that has been poured out upon them, is no longer atoning for those that are not willing to find their way back to the altar and kneel down and search their heart and say, "God, I want revival. I want my family to be saved. I want the Holy Ghost working in my life. I want to feel clean and pure each and every day. I want the Spirit of God to lead and direct me. I don't want to be taken off track, oh God. I don't want to be diverted. I don't want to be trapped. I don't want to be snared. I don't want to be hampered, oh God. I want to draw closer to you." Amen. And only be found at an altar where we surrender our will to God. Say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." Church, can you begin to pray with me tonight? Jesus, Lord, you see each and every one of us that are here tonight, oh God. Oh God, we ask you, dear Jesus, Lord.